Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. I promise now in our second hour, a focus to start around the National Football League. Thursday night in Santa Clara. Huge game in the NFC West between the Rams and the 49ers. In state, in division, with big time postseason implications in that divisional race. We'll also set the stage for a new week around the National Football League. And then later on in hour number two, the goal is to always sing second on Saturday. Our Army, not vet, active member, Mark Zinno, joins us here on the early line to take a look at the 125th all-time meeting between Army and Navy and some early looks at the college football playoff, which feels so strange to say, DRS, after conference championship weekend, normally about a month off. We're just over a week away.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And also, it used to be like, you know, signifying the end of college football season was the Army-Navy game. But now it looks like it's just like that rebirth. And also, it's not like, hey, nostalgia, Ben, two and nine programs going together for nostalgia. Like, they're really good football teams that are going to square it up. And I say this, a PSA out here. You might look at those 38s and 38 and a halfs and be like, these two teams got juice this year. Then you'll find yourself betting the over in this football game. And then, as I like to say, Ben, the first 13-play, 68-yard drive, nine and a half minutes, that ends with a field goal from 21 yards that goes wide left, you're going to be like, yep, this is exactly what I got myself into.
The under has hit in the Army-Navy game 17 of the last 18 years. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But DRS, let's set the stage for week number 15 around the NFL. Only 4 weeks remain in this regular season. So if you are in that playoff race, whether it's a seed line, a division, or just trying to earn a postseason berth each and every week, the importance is added on. For the Philadelphia Eagles, they are comfortably in to the postseason, DRS, it would seem right now. Yeah. They are comfortably the favorites atop the NFC East. They have won nine consecutive games, and yet the drama is still there because of the passing attack, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, spurred on by Brandon Graham earlier this week on a Monday evening on his radio show in Philadelphia. Does he need a co-host, Donnie Wrightside and Brandon Graham on WIP? Sounds pretty good to me.
Good.
But Hurts was, I mean, honestly, he was asked about this, Jalen Hurts being the quarterback for Philadelphia yesterday after practice. He tried to clear the air.
I think from my vantage point, you know, I put emphasis on the importance of winning and what that is. Definitely put an importance on what winning and what that is. But also, as you grow and as you evolve, the longer you can saturate yourself in something, you know, the more comfortable you can get in it. And so as everything ends and begins with the quarterback myself, that's what it is. And so for where I am right now, I'm submitting myself to, you know, what we're doing, how we're approaching it, and trying to do what I can to win and play at a high level.
You know, Jalen Hurts is like a godsend when it comes to handling media relations, because all he does is speak in like coach speak, players speak. I wonder if this is how he acts in his real life. Like, hey, Jalen, are you enjoying your dinner? Dinner is just a vehicle for energy for me to be a better quarterback. I don't really know. He was kind of talking about the poor performance of the passing game of Philadelphia. Hurts himself is thrown for less than 180 yards in three consecutive games. And yet Philly, with the historic running back and Saquon Barkley's performance, is still winning football games left and right.
He seems like the nicest, most boring man on the planet. Like me, I gave up monsters. Like, I had two a day for 15 years. We need to get him a monster contract here to sort of get some energy in there, because sometimes you do like your quarterback going on the offensive. AJ, like, you know, like if I was the quarterback of the Eagles, like, I'm sinister sometimes behind the scenes, but like they would ask me at the podium, AJ Brown squawking back there's not getting the football. Yeah, let him squawk. He's not going to get the football anymore. He keeps it up. Next question. Like, I would have fun with it and go back and forth, but you understand that this mentality for a professional athlete, you don't get there from just being a nice guy. And if you see any of the workouts that he has, maybe the hardest worker at the quarterback position in the NFL, both from film work and also putting in that time. So he has a little bit of cachet up there to be a little bit more nonchalant, you know, not be, get himself all worked up into it. But there is something from what he's saying. Most times NFL teams are built on, Ben, it used to be like you have a number one running back and a number one wide receiver. The number one wideout's getting all the work, and so is the number one running back. But the Eagles have that equation now where they have the best running back in the NFL that every time he gets the football, it's 5, 6, 7 yards, maybe even a 65-yard touchdown run. You also have Devontae Smith, a Heisman-winning football player, first-round draft pick that's a young, dominant wide receiver. There are a lot of mouths to feed, and A.J. Brown is the best wide receiver they have and looks at it, because wide receivers are space cadets sometimes, like I am. Like, nobody looks at the scoreboard. Nobody cares. They want to know why they're not eating on the outside. If they were on a 9-game losing streak, but AJ Brown had 1,600 yards receiving, he'd have the big smile on his face, like, yeah, we'll get this thing turned around, man. I think we're headed in the right direction. But a 9-game winning streak where the wide receiver after every game is going like, you better start feeding me that football or things aren't going to go that well. Like, well, what's not going well? We win every game we play. It's just the mentality of the NFL player where everybody wants to eat and win at the same time, and you can't do that.
Donnie might be the most disciplined man that I know. Maybe outside of A.J. Brown in terms of commitment to the bit and being the ethos of a number one wide receiver. He lives it. He does not just act it. DRS, I mentioned that Jalen Hurts has thrown for fewer than 180 yards in three straight games for the Eagles, despite nine consecutive victories. Do you remember 3 weeks ago? Huge win in L.A. on Sunday night over the Rams. Jalen Hurts threw for 179 yards in a touchdown. 109 of them, and that touchdown to A.J. Brown. That was just 3 weeks ago, and he's still like, this is a disaster. I'm not getting the football enough. I don't care that we're 11-2. I love that guy. I really love that guy. I believe in what he does. Philadelphia, 5.5-point home favorite. Big game on Sunday in the Keystone Clash against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just some other headlines that you see there. Justin Herbert missing practice yesterday. Chargers, 3-point home favorite on Sunday against the Bucs. We expect Herbert to play. Marshawn Lattimore will be back for the Commanders, or at least is trying to make his Commanders debut this weekend for Washington. They are a hefty favorite in their matchup after the bye. And Kevin Stefanski getting the vote of confidence, DRS, from Jimmy Haslam, the owner in Cleveland, which is the correct call. If they were to fire Stefanski because of Haslam's monumental mistake of paying Deshaun Watson, then Jimmy, he already might be the dumbest owner. He would be even further the dumbest owner in terms of his decision-making in the National Football League.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's fire Kevin Stefanski and play with Moore. I would love to be an NFL coach. Like, you're going to Cleveland. Oh, I got Deshaun Watson for 2 more years at like $60 million, so I can't do anything. And then by the time we clear him out, we'll win 4 games. We're trying to reset this thing. I'll get fired. The next guy comes in. Yeah, you better stick with Stefanski, because that's not a job that very many people want. You don't want that job again once Deshaun Watson isn't in the fold and you can sort of create your own quarterback from scratch and pay him whatever you want. Not a fully guaranteed contract. But also, getting back to Herbert, what a shame too. It seems like everybody every year, Ben, is injured for the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, every superstar has to be injured all the time for multiple years here. We'll see where they go from here, but hopefully Ladd McConkey gets in. He's a tough kid at quarterback, but you love the legs here. Does that affect now his running ability? We'll find out.
Multiple injuries for Justin Herbert is never a good sign. DRS, the 425 window on Sunday afternoon, marquee matchups, an underrated one, the Chargers hosting the first place Buccaneers in LA. More on the early line, including Thursday night, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 15 around the NFL starts on this Thursday night with an awesome short week Thursday night football game, a divisional duel between the two California teams squaring off today in the NFC West. It is the San Francisco 49ers at home in Santa Clara hosting the LA Rams. And now the number, DRS, at a flat three. That field goal in favor of the 49ers. Total working its way up despite being a short week from 48 in a hook earlier this week to 49 and a half. Donnie, short week, Thursday night football game. But the implications, the ramifications of what this game means in the NFC West, you really have to put it into context, and it cannot be undersold. The Rams right now, a game back of the Seattle Seahawks after winning a wild and high-scoring game on Sunday at home over the Buffalo Bills. The Niners snapped a three-game skid on Sunday at home against the Chicago Bears to hold on to just a little bit of life in the NFC West in their playoff outlook. There is the in-division rivalry, the in-state showdown, and of course, the personal matchup between the two head coaches, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. How do you see Thursday night playing out in Santa Clara?
Well, first, I do agree with the line here. Some people, the 49ers haven't had a good season, and you know the Rams look like they're hot right now. Fun team to watch and play. Once again, keep in mind, road Thursday night football, one of the toughest environments that you can have, and also both of these teams know each other, so we should get a good battle. The 49.5, first inclination, I say, it probably should go over, but once again, it's a short work week on two teams that know each other. Are there weapons all over the place? Yes, there are. But to get into the 50s on a Thursday, as we've seen so many times on primetime, maybe not the best effort. But the one thing I did like last week is we saw a glimpse of what we thought that 49ers are supposed to be. Not the team getting blown out in back-to-back performances, but Brock Purdy. What are we known for? Efficiency in the pocket, Ben. 20 of 25, 325, and two touchdown passes. Are the Bears the best team in the world at 4-9 now? No, they're not. But they do have a solid defense, and they absolutely carved them up. And the ability to say, my top two running backs are down. Isaac Garendo's in, 15 for 70 and two scores. Then he gets injured at the end of the game, but it still doesn't matter. They were runaway victors in that 38-13 game. And also, the Rams, you're looking at them now with the pressure on them coming into this game for and not so much on the 49ers. And you might say, Donnie, that's crazy. If the 49ers lose, they're out of it. They're still playing from that mindset of people have already written us off. Let's just try to surprise and get back into the race. Well, the Rams now are looking, we just knocked off the Buffalo Bills. We win this game. Now you have to worry about us making a playoff run and possibly winning this division. I do think we get a lot of excitement from a lot of star players, but just to start the conversation back off, Ben, I think that minus 2.5 to minus 3 is correct here. If you're asking me to pick a side in this game, I think it's the 49ers because home field advantage is key on a Thursday night, and you finally got a good taste back in your mouth of what that offense is supposed to do.
It's not a large trip for LA by any means, but Donnie, if this game was on a Sunday, even in Santa Clara, I would look to the Rams. With it being on a short week Thursday after the gauntlet in the high-scoring, intense affair they played on Sunday afternoon against Buffalo, it just complicates the matter in my estimation. I do think we will see some points. Will we get to 50 and over that total of 49.5 now? I'm not entirely sure. But from the spread and then trend perspective of where both of these teams enter Thursday night, San Francisco, 6-7 football team, a favorite in 11 of 13 games this year. All six outright wins as a favorite as well, as they did last week against Chicago. They cover the number. In fact, DRS, in their six wins this year, all of them as a favorite, they have covered five times. In all five covers, total to the over, San Francisco has scored at least 30 points. The Rams as the underdog, 3-4, both straight up and against the spread. If LA is going to cover a number, and now we see that flat field goal price tonight entering Thursday, they have won outright this year. So in all three outright wins or covers as an underdog, total also to the over. And there is the familiarity between these two teams, divisional foes in the same state. And of course, the head coaches know each other very well. The old pals of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. Shanahan has dominated the series between these two. He is 10-6 against Sean McVay. But McVay and the Rams have won the last two, including the opening meeting in week number 3 of this regular season. Donnie, let's get to the team comparison and what this game means, the importance of it on this Thursday night. Again, the Rams only a game behind Seattle. LA has beaten the Seahawks already this season. They will end the year at home against Seattle. Plus 160, the price to win the NFC West. The Seahawks, a slight odds-on favorite at minus 135. The price for San Francisco, despite snapping the three-game slide, is not overly optimistic at this moment, Donnie. And the reason why is not just San Fran's 6-7 overall record. It's the 49ers' mark in the NFC West. They are 1-3. They have lost to all three divisional opponents this year. That is a very uphill climb to make for San Francisco to contend for a divisional title.
No, you're right about it. And if you look at even the remaining parts of the schedule outside of the game against the Rams, which will be a tough one, you go on the road against the Dolphins, fighting for their playoff lives as well. And then you take on the Detroit Lions. It is at home, but still Detroit, probably looking for that number one seed. They'll still be playing hard in that football game, obviously. And then to end the season, maybe the Cardinals still think they're somewhat in it at that point in some tie-breaking situations. You got a long way to go. So I understand that whole theory. You got to play each football game it is. You can't win four games in one. I get it. But the 49ers, no doubt in my mind, they lose this football game tonight, Ben. They're out of it in the NFC West because that would drop them. The division record's terrible. They'll lose just about every tiebreakers. And they go, okay, to have any chance, everybody has to lose and you must run the table against three teams trying to make the playoffs already with a football team that doesn't have a great record in the 49ers. That would be a wrap at that point. So it feels like, Ben, a last stand effort tonight for San Francisco for one final push down the home stretch.
And for both of these teams, even the Rams, who are a game above 500, Donnie, the best path to a playoff spot is more than likely win the NFC West. LA's price to make the postseason, plus 156. Their number to win the division, plus 160, because it's an 8-5 Commanders team that is in the final spot to earn that wild card berth to the NFC postseason. It's the same as Seattle right now in the NFC West. Let's see more from Thursday night up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The prop perspective for Thursday night football to kick off week number 15. Tonight in Santa Clara, a huge divisional duel between the 49ers and the Rams. Let's look at those two signal callers. Donnie, there is no doubt that when you look at what Los Angeles put out there in terms of offensive production on Sunday against Buffalo, that is the vision. That is picture perfect. Matthew Stafford connecting with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp continuously. We see the number tonight for Stafford, 244.5, passing touchdowns prop at 1.5. Brock Purdy, also a highly successful day on Sunday, more than 330 yards. George Kittle had the most receiving yards, but Juwan Jennings was the guy to hit Pater. San Francisco, of course, their season defined by injuries. No Brandon Ayuk. We'll talk about the running game and what San Francisco will have defensively in just a moment. But how do you compare these two QBs entering Thursday night?
Yeah, more talent, obviously, on Matthew Stafford's side. Better arm strength there, you know, more, you know, ingrained in the NFL culture because he does have an NFL championship here. But Brock Purdy's certainly going to get a lot of money next year, but that doesn't matter. It's about the here and now in this game. If you said, Donnie, give me one quarterback that you're probably trying to look at, go over his props here, and let's just start with passing yards. It's probably going to be Brock Purdy's 258.5. And he said, wow, that's interesting. With those wide receivers and Matthew Stafford, didn't you see what they did last week against the Buffalo Bills? Yes. And I don't want to say that's an anomaly, because when Matthew Stafford heats up, as I tweeted out, there's none better, man. It's perfection. It's pretty to watch. And he's got weapons on the outside. But now I look at saying, okay, Matthew Stafford has a legitimate, bona fide number one in the backfield, Kyren Williams, that he can lean on at times. And you understand this, Ben. Kyren Williams is going to probably get at least, even though it's a short week, 20 to 25 carries, maybe at a minimum tonight, to try to stabilize that ground game and get that play action passing underway against a decent defense here for the 49ers. But Brock Purdy on the other side, a lot more question marks on that running game. I understand Kyle Shanahan is a genius in the running game. Next man up, they can do damage, because it wasn't as if like, oh no, Christian McCaffrey's not going to play this year. Jordan Mason looked like he had a legitimate chance, if he stayed healthy, to have the rushing title in the NFL because of how good they draw up the running game. So now you're down to possibly your four-string running back. You got to lean more on Brock Purdy, and you should, right? Like, he's your quarterback, your franchise guy, going to get a lot of money in the offseason. These are the games that you can't say, hey, let's lean on Kyle Juszczyk to get 6 or 7 carries when he barely gets any, because we need some extra running game. I need Brock Purdy to shine tonight. So I look at those two price points, 244.5 and 258.5. I'm more likely to take Brock Purdy tonight over the 258.5 than I am Matthew Stafford over the 244.5.
Both of these quarterbacks have consistently gone over these numbers in the last month and a half or so. Stafford in 5 of the Rams last 7, Purdy in 3 of the Niners last 5. 325 and 2 touchdowns for Brock Purdy against Chicago. Both of the receiving touchdowns to Juwan Jennings. Matthew Stafford, he threw for nearly 300 on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. DRS, multiple passing touchdowns for Stafford without an interception in 4 consecutive games. If we think we are getting points tonight, I might look at that passing touchdowns prop for Stafford, given the consistency. Now to some big running back news. Isaac Garendo is planning to play for San Francisco. Of course, entering last week, both Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason placed on injured reserve. So far this week, Garendo has been a limited participant at the limited number of practices for Thursday night, but ESPN's Adam Schefter saying Garendo plans to play. No props out just yet. For Kyren Williams, you see the anytime touchdown price, Donnie, at -150. He has scored in 10 of 13 games for the Rams this year, including multiple rushing scores a week ago against the Bills.
Yeah, his updated number here is also -145. And for a game that you look at with roughly 50 points, Ben, these are some pretty good numbers that you're getting. -145 for Kyren. Patrick Taylor, -135 if he fills in for Garendo, are listed with the same touchdown props here. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, +110, +125. We'll get them in just a little bit. But yes, the thing I always try to balance these games out with, if you're coming in with an injury, I don't care if you say you're healthy and ready to go. It only takes 1 or 2 carries to say, you know what, I'm not right, and you step out of the game and you lose your prop bet and your angle on that. So for my money, if you were betting it back, the only guy I could look at was Kyren Williams. But also, as I say that, there is opportunity for some really low numbers here. Like guys like Kyle Juszczyk, and sometimes you don't get caught up in it, but he needs like basically one catch to probably hit his total, which I think is like 6.5 or 7.5 yards receiving. And you know Kyle Shanahan every once in a while on the goal line, 3rd and 1, reverse out, hand it to the fullback. So maybe a sneaky prop could be Juszczyk. But from basically what I'm telling you guys, I'm not really looking from a San Francisco backfield perspective here. There's other guys like maybe Deebo Samuel could help out. Yeah, we'll check that out.
We'll talk those top targets in just a little bit. College football with Mark Zinno next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Thursday. That means Mark Zinno joins us live right here on TEL. We'll take an early look at the college football playoff, our opening round games that begin in just 8 days. Not a month off this time, Zinno. We got college football playoff games on campus for the first time in history in just over a week. Your thoughts on the bracket, how it lays out, what we can expect in the opening round. And of course, as you are an active member of our armed forces, of our army. We will get your thoughts on the 125th all-time meeting of the Army-Navy game on Saturday as well. So, as always, we appreciate the time.
Great to be here with you as always. There's nothing better I love, as DRS will confirm, that any conversation we have in a break here is making Ben's face literally frozen with his jaw nearly on the desk. It's something that I said.
There you go.
That does happen often. Mark Zeno was talking about Bill Belichick. Maybe we'll get into that in just a little bit. But Zeno, let's start with the college football playoff. And as we look at the bracket, we have detailed it numerous times. You know those four teams that are getting the opening round bye. We have our first round matchups on the outside. Zeno, you can really take this wherever you want to go. If they got the field correct, if the bracket makes sense, given the current reality, of course, understanding that some fixes need to happen. What was your initial reaction? Where do you stand right now on the first ever 12-team field of the college football playoff?
I'm not really here to have an argument about Alabama versus SMU versus Clemson. That's a waste of time. What I am here to have an argument about is it finally dawned on me when this thing came out who the real villains of college football are. And they are the big four conference commissioners. Because I literally cannot wrap my head around the idea that the third and fourth best team in the country is Boise State and Arizona State. Like, stop it. This is a joke. It's a literal joke. You should BCS the hell out of this thing. Take the top 12 teams, one through four, get a bye, and let's all move on. But the Big 12 and the ACC commission is going, well, we don't really have a chance to win a national title. We can't get into the 14 playoffs. So when we do expand, I want an automatic bid and a first-round bye for my conference. And the SEC and Big Ten went, all right, fine. We don't care. It doesn't matter to us. We're still going to have six teams in. We're good. What are they going to put up a fight about? It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. The idea that the team with the longest odds to win this thing has a bye in the first round is silly. And furthermore, what it sets up is, one, Oregon got screwed, okay? And two, the best two paths to the championship game are the 2 seed and the 5 seed. That's it. I should have worked harder to win the 5 seed. Texas actually got a gift. Why? They may not even have to face Oregon. Because if Ohio State gets through, guess what? Ohio State might be able to beat Oregon. Then you're not even playing the number one team in the country when you're Texas. And Georgia got the easiest damn path you could ask for. Oh, Boise. Oh, long shot. Oh, SMU. Oh, long shot. Oh, Penn State. James Franklin can't win anything against a top 5 team. Oh, okay. Georgia just waltzed into a team, oh, by the way, that is nowhere near the second best team in the country, got the number 2 seed. Joke.
Let's get past those bye weeks here, because also we have the first round coming up, as Ben said, in just a matter of days. Indiana and Notre Dame on a Friday night, 7.5-point spread, 50.5 total in that game. Indiana, can they even measure up now they have to actually play a good football team again, Mark? What happens here?
Yes. Give me the 7.5. This is where we're starting to undervalue Indiana and overvaluing the Gold Dome helmet, right? Like, that's what I think this boils down to. Look, Indiana had a taste of high-level talent, right, when they played Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Do we really know that Notre Dame played that much of a tougher schedule than Indiana did? Like, do we really feel like their strength of schedule was all that high? They didn't face SMU, right? They didn't face Miami, if I remember correctly. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Correct.
But, you know, they didn't exactly have to play a cavalcade of opponents. And remember, we all seem to forget, they lost at home to NIU. So with all this there, I can look objectively at Notre Dame and go, they didn't face Clemson, they didn't face Miami, they didn't face SMU. Who did they really play from the ACC? Florida State? Does Louisville count? Yeah, it was a home game. I mean, so, and they barely won it. I like Indiana here plus the points.
So Notre Dame playing a non-MAC opponent has been ruthless this year. They are 9-0-1 against the spread. They are averaging nearly 44 points in those 10 games. They have gone over in 8 of the 10. Here's why I lean with Indiana as well. IU still has the best rushing defense in the sport, as they put on display against Ohio State, even in that elevation of competition. And that's what Notre Dame is. Notre Dame is the closest thing to a service academy in terms of how the offense is orchestrated this year outside of a service academy. DRS never changed, by the way. Zeno goes on his soliloquy that includes a questionable impression of ACC and Big 12 Commissioner Jim Phillips and Brett Yormark, and you don't even respond to it. What?
So don't even know who those guys
you
are.
Just let it be. Yeah, you have no idea. You know, here's the thing that I would say in response. I would agree the ACC and the Big 12 needed a bye in this current format to allow expansion to be the case. I don't think either league was happy with how things panned out in the assessment of the committee. And I don't actually think the SEC was all that pleased with allowing a bye to happen, which will lead to expansion once again.
I would have had a problem with them saying we get an automatic bid, but if they're not ranked 1 through 10 or 1 through 9, guess what? Your ACC, your Mountain West, or your Group of Five, and your Big 12 are seated exactly 10, 11, 12. They're the bottom three seeds. Like, BCS it, okay? And if you're outside the top 12 and you are a conference champion, then you move to the very bottom, not the top four on the list.
Yeah, so but let me just respond
that in the
to
future
that.
Too. Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
We should, and we probably are. I don't exactly know how the contractual obligations work. But Zeno is correct. I think a lot of people have looked at this current format and said, all right, in the reality of the 12-team expanded field, we can offer up automatic bids for conference champs, but a guaranteed opening round bye as four of the five highest ranked conference champions. Now that needs to change, of which I would agree. Zeno, you gave your thoughts on Indiana and Notre Dame in South Bend. It is our first game of the college football playoff opening round, exactly 1 week from tomorrow, of the triple header on Saturday. To you, which is the most compelling and perhaps the most competitive of our matchups?
Well, obviously you're going to look at Tennessee and Ohio State sort of as a game that's going to be probably closer than the other ones. You know, look, Ohio State is a wounded duck right now. I guess pun intended after Oregon. But, you know, this is a team that, you know, kind of has to find itself and has to really rely on their head coach to get him out of this whole thing. They've still got that sour taste of the Michigan loss in their mouth. But I think that, you know, if you had to give them the worst matchup in the first round outside of having to play Texas, Tennessee was the second worst team that they could have faced, just given the style that they play. The Tennessee defense is very, very good. And guess what? The Ohio State offense still leaves a lot to be desired, as we saw when they played Michigan, that they can struggle at certain times and can't convert in big spots. So I think that's the most competitive one. I'll tell you my best bet of the first weekend here. Penn State SMU over 53.5. Have we forgotten, like, I guess we don't think that Penn State actually has a good offense, but they really do. Like, Drew Aller and company have really put together a very good, potent attack. They just dumped 37 on Oregon, who's got a defense in the country. And SMU can score pretty much on anybody. So I think Penn State at least gets the 30, SMU gets the 24, and we get home on this one.
And in six games that the SMU has played, at least since the BYU game, with teams that have a winning record, they allow 25 points plus in a lot of those matchups. Army Navy, Saturday. Who's going to sing second? Mark Zeno tells you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For the 125th time, it's the Army-Navy game on Saturday between the Black Knights and the Midshipmen. Our active member of the Army, that's Mark Zeno, joining us here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. You know where his allegiance lies. but really for all of us, our allegiance lies to this game, a rivalry between two bitter foes on the football field on Saturday and then teammates off of it for the foreseeable future. Zeno, as we look at the odds, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Cadets, a total that is as high as we have seen in the Army-Navy game since 2019, standing at 39.5. And Zeno, DRS made mention of this earlier. This is not the Army-Navy game of the past few years. In fact, this is not the Army-Navy game we have ever seen. We have two great football teams squaring off in Landover on Saturday afternoon. 11 wins for Army, 8 wins for Navy. 19 combined wins between the two programs. The most we have ever seen for both teams entering an Army-Navy game. What will the result look like on Saturday afternoon at Northwest Stadium?
Well, I mean, Army's going to win the game. I mean, I'm just being objective about that, but also passionate. Right. That's it. Them covering the numbers is a different conversation. Now, when this thing opened at 7, I can't tell you how excited I got and prayed that it went to 7.5, because if it had, boys, and I'm looking you dead in the eye, I would have hammered the midshipmen like you would not have believed. Period. Mm. Look, there's an interesting situation here that's never materialized before that we have to account for. You know what Navy did last week? Nada. They got ready for Army. You know what Army did last week? They played a football game. Pretty emotional one, too, right? A game against Tulane that they were an underdog in, little chip on their shoulder. I don't know that Army can get back up again for another game. Like, Navy has had nothing to do but salivate this opportunity and get ready for it. Army just played a game. They know what, you know what it does to your body. These guys had to recuperate. They had to get ready. Now they've got to go install a game plan, despite the fact they know the opponent very well, on a shorter week, and go play Navy again. I said going into the whole situation, I stayed off the Army-Tulane game in the AAC. I said, you know what? If Army loses this game, I'll come back and I'll play them the next week because I believe that they'll be ticked off that they lost the game and they'll really want to take it out of Navy. However, the celebration, the elation of winning their first ever conference title, if they had won that game, I was going to go the other direction. And I feel like I still have to maintain that Navy can keep this thing within 3 or 4. I tell you this much. I think the correlation is Army in the over, Navy in the under. Because Army's a wagon on offense, right? Nobody really is, other than Notre Dame, nobody's been able to slow them down all that much. Maybe North Texas game where they only scored 14, and the Air Force game where there was no Bryson Daly. But beyond that, this is a team right now that if Navy can't stop them from scoring 14 in the first half, guess what? This game is dead. For Navy, that is. And I think Army will run away with it because their defense is also really good. Go ahead.
Let me take a look at that total in this game, because it's always fun to say, now we have two really good teams between Army and Navy. No doubt about it. They'll be able to put down scoring drives to get over the 40 points. They seem never to get into the 40s here. 39.5. I just heard you say, like, basically a correlation. But let's just say the game plays out similar to what you feel. Is it a game that gets into the 40s or no?
I think so. I genuinely do. Again, and a lot of that is dependent on Army. Army has to get to 24 for it to get there. Like 24-17 kind of gets you home, doesn't it? That's kind of the way this thing goes. Remember, Army-Navy games are typically more sort of NFL scoring numbers where the key totals matter, the key numbers matter, right? When you're sitting here at 39, it's either 38 or 41. You know, you'd have to – there's just not enough scoring drives for the most part in these games where you can get two field goals instead of a touchdown, and all of a sudden 39.5 as opposed to 40 becomes a real thing, right? Whereas it's 38 or 41, you know, you get 21-17 or you get 24-17, right? That's the difference. So I take that into account when these two teams play. But, you know, look at Army's team total at 23.5. If they're going to win this thing and cover it, they got to get to 24. I'd have a hard time believing that this thing stays under when they win the game 20-10.
Much like my best bet for the American Championship game last week, of which Army played in for the first time and won a conference title for the first time in program history, often an independent, Bryson Daly. Multiple rushing touchdowns. It was plus 220 last week, a number that never made sense and frankly was incorrect. He had 4. He has 29 this season. It is tied for the most in the nation alongside Boise's Ashton Genty. It is even money plus 100. Zeno, you just mentioned it. The total is 39.5. If Army is going to win this game decisively, they will go over their team total or at least flirt with 23 and a half. That's three touchdowns. Bryson Daly will score at least two of the three. Just look at the numbers. It's a really good number in my estimation. It is where Army has the biggest advantage in this game. On defense, the Naval Academy is not great slowing down the run this year. They allow 160 rushing yards per game. That is where Jeff Monken and the Black Knights have the upper hand in my estimation. And Zeno, look at those numbers. You are right. This is a historic game. We have never seen Army in the more than 130 years of its football program win a conference championship game and then have to play in the Army-Navy game the following weekend. We have never seen an Army football program win 12 games in a season, and for the first time, you know, since 2017, some additional stakes. These two programs will play for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, the battle between the three service academies. Both the mids and the cadets beat Air Force this year. It really is, you know, an atmosphere for the Army-Navy game we have not seen in a long time.
Yeah. And that's, listen, it adds all to more of the pageantry and everything else and, you know, what comes with Army-Navy. Manifestly, though, when you get rid of all that stuff, I just think Army is a better football team on both ends of the on both sides of the ball. They really are, and they kind of. I know Navy started the season a lot hotter than Army did, as far as scoring and everything is concerned. But when the schedules got deeper, Army really showed their true colors. They're good on both sides of the ball, and as you mentioned, I think their defense really kind of puts the clamps down on Navy as well.
Will Mark Zeno be joining the cadets in singing second on Saturday afternoon? That we would expect, as the Black Knights are a 6.5-point favorite. The 125th Army-Navy game on Saturday. Thursday Night Football up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we're having some fun here on a Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. I can't see that right now. All right, let's go.
What base is Mark on? Why does he have a communicate? What base is he on right now? Is he Ramstein? What is that over there? Where is he? Long distance communication. Oh, look, we're trying to get it in here. Get the guy some Starlink down there. I mean, let's get him some action at this point. Having some fun here on a Thursday. Getting ready for the Rams 49ers. Like, we need the input from Mark in this game here. But by the way, Army-Navy on Saturday. It should be a blast. It should be a good one. BSS has his bets picked out. He's going to be rocking and rolling. Friday's going to get you ready for one of those best bets there. But do we have Mark yet back? Do we have him?
Hey, you can't do now. That, man. You can't.
Why not?
You can't drop a drop a star.
I'm here.
Can't drop a Starlink on him like that.
We're back up.
Biggest military We're budget in the world. We can't get our guy live on VMix. You're kidding me.
I don't know. Listen, blame Apple. All of a sudden, it decided to stop working on me.
Yep.
Oh, do we have? I don't even know if I can collect myself. That was really good.
We can.
Oh, are we? I don't think we're there.
Oh, man.
All right, we got to. What are we doing, Joe? Are we moving on? I'm talking to our producer, Joe Friezo, live over the air. Do we thank Mark Zeno?
I mean, what's is that you? Who messed it up? Is that USAA that messed it up? Is that Navy Fed? I mean, what is it? The VA? Who are we blaming on this one? We got to be blaming somebody.
Certainly
this
not Navy
this.
Federal.
Yeah.
Is he, though? He just froze again.
Here.
Oh, man. This is. You talk about.
Give him a phone.
Clips.
Come on. We'll get it.
Mark Zeno, are you there? Let's
yes.
hear you.
There okay. we go.
I'm here.
But we're getting. All right. Anyway. Zeno, let's talk about Thursday Night Football, shall we? And maybe we get your insight on it after I set the stage. 3-point favorite for the San Francisco 49ers entering the start of Week 15. Total at 49.5. Zeno, familiar foes. Huge divisional duel with big implications for that NFC West race. What do you like tonight in Santa Clara?
No way.
Come on.
I have over 24.
I love
come
this.
Come on.
This is
I can't.
We,
I,
We got to go.
Ben keeps teeing it up. I love it. Like, Ben keeps teeing him up, give it to him, then we tee it up again.
Zeno, thanks for being here. We love you, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great Thursday night. Hope you get the same segment. Go Army, beat Navy. Yeah. I mean, that's as electric as they come to start off a segment. DRS, we've already kind of talked about the game. We will more on the other side.
Yes.
The one thing we didn't really get into is those pass catchers for tonight. Of course, for L.A., Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. On the other side, for San Francisco, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, or maybe a Deebo Samuel sighting on this Thursday? Take it away.
Yeah, you know, I love to buy into those scenarios, Ben, because we're always looking at the X's and O's, how many catches do you have, how many touchdowns do you have, how many yards do you have, but sometimes there's something to it where the wide receiver's like, I'm angry. The quarterback's like, I know I have to get you the football. The head coach goes like, boy, we'd love him to participate more. And you see the past four games, he's been obsolete in that offense. And this isn't one of those like, well, what do you want him to do? Ayuk's awesome, Kittle's awesome, Purdy's running with his legs, Christian McCaffrey's in the backfield. It's just not his time yet right now. No, it should be his time. Let you Juwan Jennings shouldn't be your number one wide receiver. It's supposed to be Deebo Samuel. Look at that paycheck. Look at the performance over the past couple of years. When does he step up? But the people are buying in, Ben, because Monday, Tuesday, this line was like 46.5 for receiving prop for Deebo Samuel. Now it's up to 49.5. And I teased it when we were talking about earlier. It's not even necessarily that passing prop, the receiving prop number. I might be looking into a rushing and receiving. If you're down to your four-string running back and Debo's not getting the carries, I don't understand. I'm not talking about six, seven carries, but at least three or four of those. I got burned in that night game in Buffalo where it's like, this is the perfect Deebo weather game. He didn't even get a carry in that football game, Ben. So I don't know if I'm going to get burned again, but it feels like sooner than later, he should have a comeout performance, no?
Yeah, DRS, I completely agree. I mean, you have to get him incorporated. One of the reasons that you could argue over the last few years that it's not Brock Purdy as a game manager, but Brock Purdy taking advantage of all the talented assets that he has is because if McCaffrey goes down, all right, you still have Ayuk, Deebo, and George Kittle. All right, Brandon Ayuk is not there. Juwan Jennings has stepped up in a big way, but you would still expect DRS, as this season has been defined for San Francisco by injuries, that if Deebo Samuel has been fully healthy, he's been banged up a time or two this season, he should be involved in the offense, and a big reason the offense is still highly productive. It has not been the case. We'll talk more Thursday night when hour three starts. What an end to our second hour here on the Early Line on a Thursday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.